Well, I want you to know that I did personally apologize to Bill before he read that scripture because of all of the names in the scripture. I said, I'm so sorry. It's so great to see you after such a long time. And here's this very complicated list of Old Testament terms. But I am super excited about today's message because today we are wrapping up this series that we've been in for the last, I think, 5 weeks called A View from the Top. We've been looking at these mountaintop experiences that people have with God in the Bible. And today, as we wrap up, we're going to be exploring what it feels like when you can see where you want to go, you can see the thing that you want, but there's some obstacles in front of you. Will you pray with me? God, I don't know what we each bring into this space today, but I do know that our lives are full of challenges. They're full of unexpected things that get in the way of where we think we're going. And so, Lord, as we explore this passage, as we explore this story, as we look at our lives, I pray that you would speak through me. I pray that you would speak to us. Remind us, God, of how you work and who you are. Amen. Amen. Well, my family used to live in Pasadena, California. And when we lived there, one of our very favorite places to visit, the place that I would always take every single out-of-town guest to, the place that if I ever go back to LA now that I make sure we go, is Griffith Observatory. Has anyone been to Griffith Observatory? Okay, if you've been there, you know it is so awesome. Because besides, you know, the cool architecture and the history that it has there, there are these amazing panoramic views of Los Angeles. Especially if you look west, it gets really cool. Like you can see down, you can see Hollywood, you can see where my favorite restaurant is, so I like that. And on a good day, on a clear day, you can see all the way to the ocean and even some of the islands out in the ocean. And sometimes when you're up there at Griffith Observatory, it can be a little hot. It can be a little sunny. So you might look at the ocean, and you might start thinking about the beach. You might think, I'd like to go to the beach. It looks like the beach is a straight shot that way. But if you've ever been to LA, you know there is literally no such thing as a straight shot anywhere when you're driving. And that is true in this circumstance, too. You can see it. You can want to go there. But then actually getting to that place is kind of a challenge. There's actually a mountain range between you and the beach when you stand at Griffith Observatory. So you have to go down the mountain. You have to go around these hills. And I bet if you checked your maps, don't do it now, I bet you'd find like at least a small part of red on an LA freeway somewhere, even though I think it's about 7 a.m. there. But it's just not easy to get where you want to go. And so I think about that experience. I think about what it's like to look out like that. And it reminds me that sometimes we have to navigate through obstacles in order to get where we're hoping to go. And that brings us to this story that Bill read for us today. This story of Caleb and Joshua. Now, I want to give you a little bit of background about this story. I want to tell you a little bit about Caleb because this may not be a biblical character that you're super familiar with. We first meet Caleb all the way back in the book of Numbers. I know you all are out there reading the book of Numbers on a regular basis, right? Yes. So we first meet Caleb in the book of Numbers, and he is part of this group of spies or leaders or scouts whom Moses taps on the shoulder and says, hey, I need you to go to this land that God has told us we're going to be living in, and I just need you to check it out for me. I need you to tell me what you find. I need you to tell us what the threats might be. I need you to just tell us what this place is like because none of us have ever seen it before. And so they go, and this group brings back kind of a complicated report. On one hand, this whole group of Israelites has been kind of just hanging out in the wilderness. If you know their story, they've left Egypt. They've been living in slavery. It was not good. God rescued them. They're here in the wilderness. It's better, but it's still not that great. And so the spies, they come back and they say, well, this land that God has promised us, I mean, on one hand, it's amazing. It has everything we could ever need and want. This is where that phrase, the land flowing with milk and honey, comes from. I mean, it is just incredible. But this land isn't vacant. There are people living here. And as we've met these people, as we've seen them, we're afraid of them. Like, they're big and strong and scary, and we don't know how we can possibly go to this land. We don't know how God could possibly deliver on this promise that God has given us. So most of these leaders, they look at Moses, and they say, Moses, this is a bad idea. We should not do this. And this is where Caleb speaks up. Caleb looks at the chaos going on around him, and he tries to give some balance to the fear. He says, okay, yes, the land is populated, but also we know our God. Our God has done all of this miraculous stuff for us. I think God's gonna come through for us again. I think we should keep moving forward. So it's this very inspirational moment that Caleb has. But if you've ever talked to a hostile audience, you know that people do not listen the first time. And so it doesn't really go that great for Caleb initially. Like, the chaos ramps up, people are not listening. And this is where Caleb and Joshua sort of link arms and they say, no, we know our God. We know what it means to be faithful. We know how God has been faithful for us. Let's keep doing what God has called us to do. So that's the beginning of Caleb's story. But now today, we're coming to a part of Caleb's story that is close to the end. You heard in that text, he is 85 years old. He has seen some life. He has been following God for so many years. And at this point in the story, Moses is gone. His friend Joshua is now the number one leader in charge. And they find themselves in the middle of this process. They're in the land. They have it. They got past that obstacle. But now they need to figure out who's going to live where. What are they going to do with this land that God has given them? And this system that they're using to divvy up the land, it is, of course, kind of complicated. It takes us, once again, back to Numbers. You didn't know you'd be in that book so many times today. But we go back to Numbers, and we see the system that Moses had set up. Because he's like, okay, we're not in the land yet, but when we get there, we need to know what we're going to do with it. We need to know who's going to go where and how we're going to figure this out. So he gives them this system. It's a lot system. It's kind of a system of chance. And you can imagine that this might be a little bit stressful for the people now that they're in this spot. Because depending on what you want to do and who you are, where you end up might be really important to you. You might get a piece of land that is amazing, or you might get a piece of land that is, you know, it's just fine. It's okay. And so that can cause a lot of stress. That can feel like an obstacle. And I know that probably you didn't come to church on race day to learn about ancient Near Eastern land allotment practices. I mean, I don't know why not. It sounds very interesting to me. I loved this part of learning about it. But I'm telling you about all of this history, all of this background, because I guess I want you to understand where Caleb is and what he's facing. This isn't just like a typical day at the office. This isn't just a petty annoyance. This is a very real obstacle that can have very real consequences for his life. It can have very real consequences for his faith. Like, what happens here? It matters for Caleb. And so Caleb has to navigate this. He has to use his faith and his resources. Now, one of the biggest resources Caleb has is that Caleb apparently listens really well. He is an active listener. So he remembers back when Moses set all this stuff in place. And he's like, hey, this feels like a random system, but it's not 100% random. Because something else that Moses said was that to the largest tribe is going to go the largest piece of land, and to the smallest tribe is going to go the smallest piece of land. Well, this works out really well for Caleb because guess who Caleb is hanging with? The largest tribe. And so he knows. He's like, yes, this is a game of chance, but also I am entitled to this piece of land, not because I say so, but because Moses said it a long time ago. We set these systems in place. And so he's got this thing going for him as he comes up against this obstacle. But even though he has that, it's not like navigating this obstacle is easy. Even when you know you're right and you come up against obstacles in your life, I've never found that it's easy to navigate those things. There's still an element of challenge. And for Caleb, he is in this place where he has to speak up. He has to be assertive. He has to say, hey, do you all remember what I did? Do you all remember what Moses said? Do you remember how faithful I was when things got really hard? I'm not just showing up here as an outsider. I'm showing up here with a lot of credibility. I'm showing up here as someone who has been following God for generations. And I believe I know where God wants to take me. But I need this obstacle to move. You know, sometimes I think that we need to remember what Caleb remembers in this moment, which is that even when it gets hard, even when the obstacle is challenging, God is still at work. Our stories do not end with the obstacles that are in front of us. Now, I say that to you, knowing full well that as humans, we're often really tempted to believe that that's true. Because we come up against stuff that just feels bigger than us. It feels like it's out of our control. It feels like we don't know how to navigate it. We just see this thing in front of us. I mean, I love that song that Fran sang for us because I think it captured so perfectly what it feels like when we meet an insurmountable challenge. We just think, God, are you done? Are you done with me? Is my story over? Is there anything left that I could possibly do? It is so tempting to believe that. But why I love Caleb's story is he doesn't go there. He doesn't let go of his dream. He doesn't give up just because it's difficult. He knows who God is, and he holds on as tight as he can to all of it. Despite the fact that there are a million reasons Caleb could have backed down in this story, he just keeps going. And you know, as he keeps going, as he keeps moving against the obstacle, it benefits him, but it also goes so much further than his here and now. If you look at verse 14 in this text, it says, "So Hebron still belongs to Caleb as a legacy today." It's part of this legacy that he created. The fact that he had enough faith to move through that obstacle that was in front of him, it wasn't just about him. It had this huge domino effect. I mean, it created stories for generations. It created a story that people kept telling. One of the things I think is so amazing is that you have to think that it's very likely that this book of Joshua was actually written hundreds of years after these events happened. And so this was a story that people carried with them. This was a story that people told their kids at bedtime. This was a story that people talked about around campfires. This was a story that people wanted to hang on to because they knew at some point life's gonna get hard. And it did. It did. If you read through the Old Testament, life gets really hard for God's people. They have to leave their land. They go into a time of exile, but they remember that God was working, and they can believe that maybe God will still be working, even in the midst of the obstacles they face. You know, as I was thinking about this idea of legacy, and especially as we're talking today on Memorial Day weekend, it made me think of my husband Zach's grandparents, especially his grandpa, Donald Mumaw. So Don was a World War II veteran. He flew B-26 planes over in Europe. He amazingly lived to tell the story and come home and pass that down through generations. And he and Zach's grandma, Betty, I think we have a picture of them together, they lived until they were 92 and 93. They're both buried in Arlington Cemetery. It's really awesome. They left this beautiful legacy in their life. And I think the thing for me that really stands out about them as someone who married into this family was Don's commitment that his family would both know their story, but also know each other. So Don, when they were still in their home, when they were still living, he had all over the place these like memory boards. Like he would make scrapbooks, he would make poster boards. We actually named our daughter Hazel because we saw a family member's picture with that name on one of those boards. Like he was so dedicated. You will know our story and you will stay connected. Now, I think that legacy might seem kind of simple to some of us, right? Like, okay, he wanted his family to be close. But I want you to understand that wasn't an easy legacy for him to create because he did not have geography on his side. At one point, Zach's family was scattered throughout North, Central, and South America. So we're talking about different countries, different states, different cities, different life stages, different personalities, as you know, in families. And yet Don and Betty always drew us together. That was just part of who they were. And last year, we all gathered in Ohio to celebrate what would have been Don's 100th birthday. All these people, like four generations of people together from all over the world to Burr Oak State Park in Ohio. And as we were there, as we were creating our own traditions, as we were making new memories, as we were spending time together, as we were meeting some of these people for the first time, I just thought, I don't know that Don and Betty ever could have dreamed this up. I don't know that they could have said, this is what our family will do, but we are living into the legacy they created because of their intentionality, because of their love, because of their faithfulness. And I think sometimes when we break through obstacles, we get to see benefits like that. We see the things that we benefit from, that our families benefit from. But I don't want to tell you this story without addressing another important part about breaking barriers. See, sometimes we break them for ourselves. Sometimes we overcome obstacles for ourselves or our family or the people who come behind us. But sometimes God calls us to be barrier breakers so that we can make a way for someone else. Sometimes it's not about us, but it's what we can do for someone that God puts in our path. That's a really important part of Caleb's story. Because you've got Caleb's tenacious faith. You've got it, right? Like he persists, he pushes through. But I don't want you to miss that Caleb doesn't do that alone. Caleb does that standing next to Joshua. Joshua, who is now the leader, who has all this wisdom, who has all this influence. Joshua steps out and says, I will support the thing you're bringing to the table. You know, I think Joshua could have actually shut that whole thing down if he wanted. He could have said, Caleb, look, we're buds. Like, we've been through it together. I love you. Also, I'm trying to run a land allotment process here, and you're kind of getting in the way. Like, you're making this more difficult for me. He could have shut it down. And as I read this story, I just thought, I think every single one of us could tell a pretty heartbreaking story of when that happened to us. When we were looking for someone to move an obstacle, to remove a barrier, and for whatever reason, they didn't do it. Those can be really hard, confusing, dark moments. But I think my hope is that as many of us could tell that story, that we could also tell the opposite, that we could tell a story of someone who showed up for us, of someone who took a risk for us, of someone who said yes to us, and they made a way when we couldn't have possibly done it on our own. I think about my own ministry journey. I think about the fact that I'm standing up here this morning. Some of you know that I come from traditions where women didn't do this. I never saw a woman give a Sunday morning message until I was an adult. That's not what I grew up with. That was not the story that was being woven for me. And so I want you to understand, when I felt this call from God to go into ministry, I was like, well, this feels like it's going to get awkward because I'm not supposed to do this. So like, what do we do with this? And so as I wrestled with this call, as I tried to ignore it, but God just has this way, like God does not let you ignore things when God is calling you to things. As I tried to do that, there were barriers, there were obstacles, but I want you to know there were also so many people who showed up and moved those obstacles out of the way. I mean, there were people who, despite what their theological statement was, despite their statement of belief that they signed, they helped connect me to seminaries. There were people who helped me lead in every single way that they could get away with. There were people who looked me in the eye and said, I don't understand what God is doing, but I believe you, and I believe in the movement of the Spirit. And so I'm going to help you get to where God is taking you. There's people here in this room, as I went through the ordination process, when there would be bumps and twists and turns, who stood in the gap, who told me it was all gonna work out, who had my back no matter what. I look at the story of being in ministry, and I think it could not have happened if I had tried to move those obstacles on my own. I needed those people of faith to come alongside and take a risk and do that work with me. And so I just think, as you hear this story today, I just wonder where you find yourself. Are you in this position of being like Caleb, where you are just trying to be heard, where you're trying to move that thing, where you are hoping against hope that God is at work? Or are you more like Joshua, where God is putting someone in your path and God is calling you in the unique way that you can to help move that thing, to help open a door, to help create a pathway? Because I think, as grateful as I am for those stories, it would be such a loss if I didn't create those stories going forward. It would be such a loss for us if we experienced people working on our behalf and we didn't pass that down and do that work for others. So today, as we start